Chapter 25. Bright Night 36 of Year 3876. The machine, which the larger foreigner had carried, is full of surprises. First of all, he was amazed at its intelligence. Together they managed to get at least some rudimentary communication going. Gronolf now knows that the machine calls itself Marchenko, that the alien he met first is Eve, and the other one is Adam. Pronouncing these names is difficult, though, because the alien sounds use only a small part of the acoustic spectrum. It is as if he had to sing constantly in a different voice. However, the two aliens have even greater problems with his name. In order not to cause them unnecessary frustration, he lets them believe that Gronolf is his complete name. How could you teach someone to pronounce a word if they cannot hear half of it? Only the machine can pronounce Gronolf correctly. The true nature of Marchenko is still a mystery to him. He probably does not come close to doing him justice by using the term machine. Despite their attempts at communication, Marchenko has proven to be much more. He still cannot judge how much more. Sometimes the machine reminds him of an omniscience. An omniscience consists of the compressed information, thoughts, and emotions of numerous Grosknobs. The knowledge scientists developed this concept many cycles ago, because the machines built by the motion scientists had become too complicated over time to be controlled even by the most talented individuals. A spaceship like the Majestic Draft would be impossible without being controlled by an omniscience. Yet this Marchenko machine is much too small for that. Not even this shelter building could contain an omniscience. If Gronolf is honest with himself, he would have to admit the second surprise was really a shock. He urged them to walk to the control room and offered to carry the machine. Yet the machine refused. He did not understand the reason for this, but he agreed. A few millibubbles later, Marchenko suddenly stood behind him on four legs. While Gronolf's own species also has the ability to regrow limbs, that takes many bubble periods, not just a moment. He was particularly impressed by Marchenko's trick of letting his legs crawl separately from his body. At that moment, Gronolf recognized that he had seen one of those legs accompanying the alien Eve. He'd stepped on it, crushed it, when he'd turned to follow her as she'd run away. Now it is time to go to the control room. Due to Marchenko's abilities, Gronolf hopes they will be able to solve the problem caused by the alien. His anger at Eve has dissipated since she saved his life. The situation had been obvious. Eve used Gronolf's own weapon to punish the four-legged machine that had knocked him down. He was still not sure about the role of that other machine. It must have had its own agenda, which should be impossible for a machine. Perhaps it was defective, or had been programmed by a different faction of the aliens. What a mess it would be if these aliens started to continue their squabbles on this planet. Therefore, he prefers to believe in a defect. Gronolf does a leg squat and then stands up again. His muscles need to be moved. The long, thin wound on his side where the hot wire dug into his skin is already starting to close. It will take only a few days before it is completely healed. He gestures with his touch arms to get the aliens to start walking. They talk in their low-pitched language and then follow him, with Marchenko taking the lead. Adam and Eve let their touch hands meet. Strange how that species managed to survive without load arms. He watches the aliens through his rear eye. Now Eve strokes the grass growing on Adam's middle bump. Why don't they just rip it out? Does it maybe fulfill some ritualistic purpose? Due to their sizes, he can easily tell the two apart. Is that a normal variability? Or is Eve younger than Adam, and therefore shorter? At some point, he will have to ask Marchenko about the purpose of the protective clothing. These creatures' skins are probably so sensitive that they have to protect themselves against foreign environments all the time. This would indicate they developed in a place with a low injury risk. Gronolf tries to think of such places on his home world, but he can only think of the slime swamps of Eltok. Yet there, due to the population of sawtooth crawlers, the injury risk is actually much higher than on many beaches. They are making good progress and will soon reach the control center. He hopes Eve told the others that the general would be waiting for them there. Gronolf still does not have a bright idea as to how to honorably dispose of the remains. The general probably used to like sitting in his command chair, so it is fitting that he stayed there after his death. Gronolf does not mind seeing him, as it is good to be reminded of one's mortality, and he also feels a bit motivated by the presence of a high-ranking officer. It would be a great honor for him to save the world under the eyes of the general. Gronolf moves directly to the holomap in the control center. He notices through his right side eye the others stopping in front of the general's chair. Eve and Adam interlace their touch hands. Their posture seems to express awe, even though he is still far from understanding the alien's body language. Soon afterward, Marchenko joins him at the holomap. Gronolf demonstrates how to use the four sectors of the control panel. Due to the sounds generated by the pressed keys, he could do this with his eyes closed. Gronolf knows that Marchenko can also hear in the ultrasonic range, so he will appreciate these melodies. Among Gronolf's people, it is considered the highest skill of a navigator to select a travel route not just by the highest efficiency, but also by its harmonic sound. This tradition is still used in modern space travel. At least it was so before his time in the sleep chamber. Gronolf closes all four of his eyes and remembers his time in the egg, when he had only his sense of hearing available. His mother managed to create a whole world in his mind through her songs and stories. Back then he still believed these were all meant for him, but of course, the other siblings in his plex also participated.
Gronolf?
Marchenko pronounces his name with the perfect intonation. He can't remember when he last heard it so perfectly. The system here certainly does not manage to do that. He opens his eyes. His childhood is still there, but his memories of the time right before his long sleep are still missing. If he could just remember them, they might be better able to solve the problem they're facing. Gronolf cautiously hits his belly to get rid of his frustration.
Marchenko?
He tries to pronounce the other one's name correctly, too.
Gronolf?
Marchenko?
What is that?
The machine asks. Once again, Gronolf is surprised, because a miniature arm grew on Marchenko's shoulder, and it is now pointing at the symbol for the majestic draft. Gronolf is not sure what the words of the machine mean, but it seems to be a request for information. How can he explain what is happening there? He moves his right touch arm, hits his upper body, and starts to stumble. Was that clear enough? If the majestic draft hits single sun, it will be a catastrophe for his people and the planet. Yet why is the capital ship not reacting to his warning messages? Could it be that the alien Eve triggered a self-destruct mechanism? However, Gronolf has never heard of such an absurd process. If this has to do with the unauthorized contamination of the shelter building by aliens, it would have been enough to awaken him, and he would have eliminated the problem. There must be something going on in the background he does not understand. Does not yet understand, he corrects himself, because he is going to find the cause.